Father, without your Spirit, we are left to your wrath. Without our Spirit, we are dead in our transgressions. It is only by your goodness to us that we can be here and praise you, and your praise be acceptable to you. We pray, therefore, that your Spirit may teach us and illumine us, that we may come to an understanding of these things, and that we would be enabled by your Spirit to walk in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we ask it. Amen. At the end of the prophecy, at the end of the book, we are taken up with the end of time, the end times. There will be this period of time that Daniel is spoken to about, the time of the end, as it says here. And we must, as we come to the scriptures, begin to ask ourselves about what this time is, this time when Michael shall arise, the great prince who is in charge of God's people. The Bible tells us of various different times. In the last weeks, we've been thinking of the time that God made the world and how it was in the beginning, God's creation. And then, when we make our way into Genesis chapter 3, we learn of the fall, of how humanity sinned against God and turned away from him. And the scriptures, as they unfold and as God gives us the promise to save a people for himself, we learn how it is he does this. It is in the coming of his Son that God himself has come to this world to save the world. He has come to save many people. All who come to trust in Jesus Christ shall be saved, shall find in him the forgiveness of their sins. And while there is much to say about the time in between the fall and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is the next great event that takes place, the coming of the Lord Jesus, his coming, his death on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, his resurrection, because this is God's Son, and God would not leave his Son in the tomb. He raises Jesus up from the dead on the third day, and then Jesus ascends into heaven, and he sends his Holy Spirit to his people as a down payment of the resurrection which is to come, because God's plan is not just to raise his Son Jesus Christ, but to raise all who trust in him to everlasting life. There is then a further period that the Bible speaks about, the period between the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost and the end of the age, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the end times. These are the last times. The times between the fall and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, these are the former times. But the time between the ascension of Jesus Christ, descending of the Holy Spirit, and Christ's return, these are the end times. And these are the times in which we live, the last days. And the Bible tells us what happens in these last days. And the Bible describes what we can expect to see, and also what we can expect to experience as well in these last days before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. As it says here in verse 1, what we can expect is trouble. There shall be a time of trouble. Jesus reaffirmed this when he spoke of the last times. When he spoke of the period between Pentecost and his return, he said, "You'll hear of wars and rumor of wars." He says, "See that you're not alarmed." He is preparing us for these troubled times. "See to it that you are not alarmed, because," he says, "this must take place. The end is not yet. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginning of the birth pains." The last days, the last times, the end days. The Lord doesn't say a great deal about this to Daniel, but there are a couple of things that he says to him concerning the last days, which we would do well to pick up on. In verse 4, he says, "In these days, many will run to and fro." Many will run to and fro. In these last days, there will be fretting and wondering, going from one place to another and never being settled. Restlessness in going to different places. Restlessness in relationships. Restlessness in relationship to God. "In the last days, many shall run to and fro." And this happens at a pace as well. See the description of what we have here? Not a pacing to and fro or a walking to and fro. This is a running to and fro. This is a great restlessness. This is a moving back and forth very, very quickly from one thing to another. The last days, the days in which we will live, will be characterized by this. A running to and fro, a restlessness. When the Bible speaks to us about this wandering and about this restlessness, it's not just those who don't believe in God that it speaks about. No, there are times when God speaks about the restlessness of his own people. And with that as well, because God's voice is not listened to, it's actually God himself who causes people to run to and fro, to be restless and to wander away from him. The Psalms speak about this a great deal. "My people did not listen to my voice. They would not submit to me. So I gave them over to their stubborn hearts to follow their own counsels." Psalm 89, "Those who forsake my laws and go astray, and in my judgment shall not walk, but wander from my way." The last times will be characterized by people going to and fro, running to and fro. And at the heart of this is the refusing to hear God's voice, the refusing to submit to him. And actually, we learn from the scriptures that God's response is to make people wonder. God makes people wonder. In Psalm 107, verse 40, it says, "He pours contempt on princes and makes them wonder in trackless wastes." Isaiah also indicates this as well in chapter 63. "O Lord, why do you make us wander from your ways and harden our heart so that we fear you not? Return for the sake of your servants, the tribes of your heritage." You see, as we think of these things, we have a need, don't we, that God would return to us and that we would return to him. That we would listen to his voice and obey his voice. Why is it that God causes people to wander away? Why is it that God is actually active in this? Well, it's because of the sinfulness of the human heart. And because sin is rightly met with God's judgment. And at least some of God's judgment is given in this world. God doesn't save all the judgment for the last day, the day of judgment. Yes, there will be great wrath and great punishment on that day, but God also exercises judgment in the world today as well. Those who have turned away from God, it is as though God also hardens their hearts further. He did that with Pharaoh. When Pharaoh refused to return to God, it speaks there of God hardening his heart. When he sent the prophet Isaiah, he said to the prophet, "Make the heart of this people dull. Make their ears heavy. Make their eyes blind." There will be running to and fro. There is the need to return to God and to listen to his voice, lest we be passed over to his judgment. And God calls us again, doesn't he? Each day he calls us in his word, and as we come also to church and we hear his word, how God has told us this is a favorable time. Return to me. Do not harden your hearts if you hear my voice. Return to me. Be restored to me. I have given you my son so that you may have forgiveness of your sins and receive eternal life. Well, these last days will be characterized by a running to and fro. And then also, these last days will be characterized by another thing which is mentioned in verse 4, which is that knowledge shall increase. Knowledge shall increase. The last days will be made known, and that knowledge shall increase. It's interesting to see here, isn't it, that there is no further comment on this. simply revealed that knowledge shall increase in these days. Well, why is it mentioned here? Especially for us today and in our time, because knowledge has never been so attainable as it is today. It's never been so easy to find the answer to a question. You go on a computer and you type in your question and you can find an answer. Knowledge so easily attainable. Never has there been so many books. Never has there been so much research. Never has there been so much knowledge of the things of the world and the universe as a whole. Knowledge shall increase. Actually, I think that these two things are linked together in verse 4. The increase of knowledge and the running to and fro. That with the increase of knowledge, there is also restlessness. Unless that person is also listening to the voice of God. Unless that person is also submitting his or her will to God. With knowledge, there is restlessness. With knowledge, there is the mindset and the person who is seeking to gain knowledge. They are constantly asking questions and constantly seeking answers and obtaining answers for their questions. But the great question for us is this: what is the purpose of our lives? What is the purpose of our lives? What are we here for? Why is there something here and not nothing? And then when we think of that, I think we can then begin to see why there is so much restlessness and why there is so much disquiet among the peoples of the world. Because there is an answer to that question, but humanity has rejected it. There is an answer to the purpose for life, why we have life one day to the next. There is an answer for this, but humanity has rejected the answer. And so is therefore on a never-ending search to find the answer. It's a search that cannot end, because the answer has already been rejected. You know what it's like sometimes? Maybe you're looking for the keys to the front door, and you've gone into your pocket and you didn't find them there, and so you begin looking everywhere for your keys, only later on to discover actually they were in your pocket. You see, if you've rejected that those keys are in your pocket, then you'll be on a never-ending search throughout the world to find your keys. It's a little bit like that with God. If we have rejected God, if anyone has rejected God but is then on a search for meaning in their lives, then they are on a never-ending search. They're on the tracks for restlessness and dissatisfaction and are running to and fro, because they're looking for something that will give them meaning to their lives when they have actually rejected the answer from the beginning. Well, What then? What then? When humanity is turned away from God and rejected the answer, well, listen to what the Lord says to Daniel. There shall be a time of trouble, but at that time your people shall be delivered. Everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. And some of them will be to everlasting life. In a world which has turned away from him and rejected him, God has told us of a great plan that he has for this world, his mercy, his kindness. A world where there is brokenness and many are lost. Jesus has said, I lose none that the Father has given to me. Everyone whose name is written in the book. Everyone whose name is written in the book. Here, the Lord is speaking about the book of life. And the book which God has written on, to speak in that way anyway, of how God has chosen a people for himself, elected a people from all eternity. And he has devoted himself to saving that people, to rescuing them from their darkness and from their lostness. He is drawing them to himself. At the end of time, that book will be opened and read, and everyone's name who is in it shall be saved, while those who are not in that book, they will be raised to shame and everlasting death. Everyone who is delivered, everyone concerning whom God has written that name in the book of life, they shall be saved. When God speaks to Daniel, he speaks of closing this up and sealing it up. And it is like, that's what God has done with the book of life. He's written the names, but in the meantime, he has sealed that book up. Neither I nor you know the names of those who are in the book of life. But God has said, I will deliver each one. I will restore each one to you, to me. That's why none of us are in a position to judge any other person as to whether they will go to heaven or hell at the end of the day. Because the book of life is closed, but will be opened up, and God will be able to rescue all who he has named for himself. And that's why we have to be especially careful in our conversations, because it may just be that we are speaking to someone that God will save. It may just be someone that God has a great plan for, to restore to himself. It may just be that you're speaking to someone for whom the Lord Jesus Christ has died, though they have not yet been restored to him in faith. God has a great plan that he will deliver every one that he has decreed in the book of life. Great questions come up about these things, about the end of time, and that's what happens here in this chapter as well. Two questions that we might ask, two questions that are asked here. When will this happen? When will this happen? And then, what then, given that it will happen? When and what then? When will it happen? That's the big question. When will the end of time come? Many love to speculate on this, when the end of the world will take place. The TV programmes about this, books about it. People scour the Bible and look for theories and formulas and try and unravel codes for when the end of time will come. But God actually tells us here, doesn't he, of when it will come. He says in verse 7, it will be, these end times will be for a time, times and half a time. Now that's when things will come to an end. When the time, times and half a time have come to an end. Now what can we learn from that? We don't learn the date. We don't learn the specific time that we would maybe like to know ourselves. What do we learn, though, that and what God says here? What we learn is that the time of trial, the days of evil, the days of wickedness are limited. They are limited. The end times, the times in which we live, are not forever. He has set a specific time, and see how God, when he speaks here, and he speaks as he chooses and as he reveals as he is pleased to reveal, there are times when he will speak generally and there are other times when he will speak very specifically. Because God has ordained the future. And God knows all that will take place one day from another and when the end of time will come. Because there in verses 11 and 12, we see how specifically God speaks about 1,290 days and 1,335 days. God has set a specific time for the end times. And actually, not only can we learn that these days are limited, but we can also learn that God will cut short the evil days. God will cut them short. Jesus spoke about this in reference to what Daniel speaks of in verse 11, the abomination that makes desolate. And Jesus then speaks about these days and says there will be great tribulation such as has not been from the beginning of the world until now. And if those days had not been cut short, no human being would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. We learn then that those days, these days in which we live, will be limited. That God has set his limit on it until the end of time comes. And then also another thing about this as well, another point which helps us to see when the end shall come. It's mentioned in verse number 7. When the shattering of the power of the holy people comes to an end. When the shattering of the power of the holy people comes to an end. The powers of darkness. It is the time at which the powers of darkness have done everything that they can against the truth of God. And the resistance that there is to the gospel and the resistance that there is to God's word will finally come to an end. There is great resistance in the world to God and to his word. But when the shattering of the power of the holy people comes to an end, these things will be finished. So that's when the end comes. What then? What then? Daniel says in verse 8, and surely we must say, along with him, I heard, but did not understand. These things are too great. These things are too incredible and so huge. It's how do we understand these things? But God has not given us everything to understand. God knows everything. He is pleased to give us a limited amount of knowledge about these things. He gives us what we need to know, but we cannot understand everything. Not everything is revealed. But some things are. What God says to Daniel is what's important for you, Daniel, is not to understand everything and not to sort everything out either. But rather, he says to Daniel, go your way. Go your way. I think that's also what Jesus said to John as well. Go your way. Go your way. Do not be concerned about what place you'll have in heaven. Do not be concerned about whether your suffering will be more or less than another person. Do not be caught up in comparing all the time. But rather, go your way. Fulfill your duties. Fulfill your responsibilities before God. It's not for you to sort everything out. See that God says to Daniel that there will be many who will be saved apart from you, and many who will die in their wickedness apart from you. Many shall purify themselves, and many make themselves white and be refined. For us today, this happens by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, who makes us white, who gives us the forgiveness for our sins by trusting in him. Many shall purify themselves, and many make themselves white and be refined, apart from you, Daniel. And many will act wickedly, and many will be many will live in contempt and will be raised in the end to everlasting death. Many shall purify themselves, many will be wicked, but for you, Daniel, you go your way till the end, verse 13. And then you shall rest and shall stand in your allotted place at the end of the days. Therefore, for us, from these verses, there is the call to perseverance, the call to continue trusting in God and doing what he calls us to do, the things which he tells us to do in his word, that we are to do them, to go your way, to take up your responsibilities, to take up your duties and to fulfill them dutifully before God. And there is the call to do this till the end. See how God calls here. There's a calling here from God to the people that their perseverance must be through the time of suffering. It doesn't fall short at the end of the time of suffering, but perseverance through the time of suffering, the abomination of desolation, which will come after 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and arrives at the 1,335 days. We all have to go through the time of suffering, holding on to the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting in him with our faith in him. That's what perseverance is. Through the suffering, the time that God has ordained for us to live in, but a time also, praise the Lord, that he has set his limits on, and will cut short for the sake of the elect. Amen.